Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. This is God's Word. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You were saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law, consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, you have heard, haven't you, about the administration of God's grace that he gave me for you? The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've briefly written above. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So then, I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, folks, in chapter 1, we said that Paul is wanting God's people to realize what he has provided for them. He prays in chapter 1 that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. In this section, likewise, he is praying for them that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend. He says, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. I want you to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. He says, it's more than we can comprehend, but I want you to comprehend it. Okay? That's not a contradiction. That is a beautiful Hebrew way of expressing oneself. God wants us to know what is beyond human knowledge. God wants us to embrace that which our minds are staggered by. God wants us to have the peace that passes understanding, or as my prayer partner Michael Youssef prayed for me years ago, please, God, give Jim the peace that doesn't make sense. I like that. God has blessed us more than we can comprehend. There is absolutely no inadequacy in him. There's nothing about God that falls short. We fall short of the glory of God. But God has chosen not only to forgive us, thank God he forgives us. But that's not all. He transforms us. God's intention is that we would be his family, one with one another and with him. That's hard for us to get hold of. I am always staggered when I read in John's gospel, Jesus saying, the Father loves you just like he loves me. And I think, surely that's not right. There's got to be another translation that's more accurate. No, that's what it says. Jesus said, the Father loves us like he loves Jesus. I'm thinking, but Jesus deserves it, okay? He is lovely. He is lovable. He is perfect. Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. We have been pushovers for temptation. If you ever think, well, Jesus wasn't tempted as severely as I am, you're a dolt. Okay? That's just absolutely not true. If I don't even know, is Klitschko still boxing? Ukrainian boxer? In any case, if this heavyweight contender and this heavyweight contender got in the ring and went 15 rounds, and then I got in the ring with one of them and got knocked out in the first 10 seconds. And afterwards, I tried to say, well, that other guy who went 15 rounds, he doesn't know how hard that guy can hit. Okay? No, I'd be the idiot because I don't know how hard that guy can hit. He only had to hit me once, and I was down on the mat. Okay? The one who went 15 rounds, that's the one who knows how hard he can hit. Jesus went 15 rounds. Got it? Jesus faced all kinds of temptation, and he never sinned. He never sinned. So he knows the force and power of temptation much more than we do. And yet, he tells us that God, the Father, loves us just like he loves Jesus. If that doesn't blow your mind, you're not awake. I mean, that's just astounding. But it's true. He really, really, really loves you. He's not just putting up with you. The devil does not want you to know how much God loves you. What was his original lie when he questioned the word of God there in the garden? Did God really say that? Yeah, God didn't say we couldn't eat any of the fruit. He just said we couldn't eat the fruit of this tree or we'd die. You won't die. God just knows that if you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. God's holding out on you. You can't trust God. Let me tell you something. You can trust God. He loves you. He really, really loves you. Let it sink in. That's what Paul's praying for here. He says, I want you to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love. And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let that sink in for a moment. God's desire for you is that you would be filled with him. He wants to live his life through you. The idea that God would want to fill me and use me, that's just, it's like, why? It makes sense that God might use this person or fill that person, but why me? The answer is he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't just love people in general. He loves you specifically. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you. But I've sinned, God is well aware. And the price that was paid was an awful price. But he did it because he loves you. That's what it says. It says he did this despite the fact that we were, like the rest, children under wrath. But God, verse 4 of chapter 2, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Please meditate on that. God didn't look down and say, well, that one's not too bad. I'll save them. When I look back at the early church, one person who for sure I would not save is the Apostle Paul. I mean, here's a guy who knew the scriptures, and when he heard the gospel from Stephen, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and whose face was shining, Stephen manifested the presence and power of God in a supernatural way. Saul of Tarsus saw it, and rather than falling down in repentance, he hated him and wanted him dead. And then he got letters authorizing him to travel around, finding where the Christians were, rounding them up, persecuting them, even to the point of death. That was his mission. I mean, he was a terrorist against the church. You want to see that guy get saved? I want to see that guy get dead. I want him killed. I mean, for goodness sake, God, please, why would you allow this man to continue? People are suffering. Your children, your brothers and sisters are suffering. Lord, please put an end to this. You can take him out like that. And God said, no, he's going to write a bunch of the New Testament for me. But God saved him. And that's why Paul is so passionate about making it clear that God loves us too. And wants not just to forgive us, but to fill us and use us for his glory. We are saved entirely by grace. If you think that you are saved by what you do, read the book of Galatians and then pray to receive Christ. Okay? Because Paul tells the Galatians, if you think that you can do something to save yourself, you're cut off from Christ. Nobody is going to go to heaven on the basis of what they have done. We're going to go to heaven on the basis of what Jesus has done. We're saved by grace. Read the book of Romans. It says more than once in Romans, no one is going to be justified by keeping the law. And the reason is because nobody keeps the law. Paul says, in terms of legalistic righteousness, I was blameless, okay? I kept the law. But Paul also acknowledges the fact that as one who, relatively speaking, kept the law, he blew it too, okay? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not most of us have or some of us have. All of us have. We've all violated God's law. We are by nature, in our original state, sinners. Dead in trespasses and sins. God made us alive. He saved us. Praise be to God. It says God is the one who is worthy of our praise and he loves us. He did it because he loves us. And his intention is now there shouldn't be any division between those who are Jews and those who are Gentiles. Because his intention was to bring us together and there shouldn't be any separation anymore. Oh, well, I'm a Jewish believer. Oh, well, I'm a Gentile believer. Well, I'm a Norwegian believer, but what has that got to do with anything? Okay? Well, is it okay to still be happy about our ancestry? Absolutely. Many of my most enthusiastic brothers and sisters in Christ are folks who ethnically are Jewish, but they Jesus, I want to be like that, okay? We got grafted in to the vine as Gentiles, but we're not second-class members of Israel. All of us together, Jew and Gentile, are one body in Christ. And it's all about grace. It is all about grace. So, God has made us one, and I love the fact, if you think I digress and chase rabbits, I love the fact that Paul does it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So maybe it's okay for me sometimes too. In chapter 3, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, and now he's about to digress. You have heard, haven't you, about the administration of God's grace that he gave to me for you? The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've briefly written above. He's now digressed, okay? And it's all good. This is inspired stuff. It's not like, okay, well, so right there at the start of chapter 3, you can just skip down to verse 14. No, don't skip any of it. It is all good. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles, this is verse 8, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. He says, I want you to know how much we've inherited. I want you to understand what is ours in Christ. It's riches beyond what can be calculated. Okay? Being in Christ is more wonderful than we will ever finish realizing. We're going to have eternity with Him. And it's not going to be boring. You know, what are we going to do after the first 1,000 years? Believe me, we're not just going to be sitting around on a cloud trying to figure out new songs on a harp. Okay? Heaven with Him is going to be so glorious. Now, what are we going to do? I don't know. I've got a finite mind and a finite life experience. But God wants to live His life through us. Well, what kind of stuff does God do? Well, created the universe. That was pretty cool. Okay? Well, how much time will we have? Time will be no more. It's going to be forever. It's going to be more wonderful than we can comprehend. And Paul says, that's what I want you to try and get hold of. I want you to recognize that God's plan for you is more wonderful than you can possibly imagine. Do you really believe that? Because the thing is, if we believe that, then whatever we're going through is not such a big deal. Look at what Paul says about the outcome of this. This is according to his verse 11 of chapter 3. This is according to His eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. So then, I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are your glory. Paul is in prison. Paul is mistreated. His rights are being violated. There are people who are out to kill him, just like once upon a time he was out to kill other believers. Okay? Paul says, don't be discouraged about the suffering. What are we to do when we suffer for righteousness' sake? Jesus said, rejoice. James says, count it as joy. We think if we're having a bad day, I mean, if I get a flat tire, I just think, oh, God, how could you let this happen? I'm such a wimp. How ridiculous. That's not suffering for righteousness' sake. That's just life. That's just stuff that happens. But, oh, trying to bear up, keep a positive attitude. What if they came and they took us away because of our faith in Jesus Christ? Well, welcome to human history. This is what our brothers and sisters are enduring at present in many parts of the world. And our attitude about that should not be cavalier that we don't care about them, but on the other hand, we shouldn't act as if somehow this is an astonishing thing. I can't believe there's persecution in the world. Read the Bible! In the book of Revelation, those who have already been slain for their faith cry out and say, how long, O Lord? How long are you going to let this keep going on? And God's response is, until the full number of those who are to be martyred have been taken. You mean God's actually waiting on more Christians to die? Yeah, according to His word. Martyrdom is not something that we shouldn't care about. But it is something that we should recognize as part of God's plan. I would have been right there with Peter arguing against Jesus going to the cross. Surely not, Lord. Don't talk that way. We know You're the Messiah. Don't talk about being crucified. That's a dreadful way to think. God's plan for us, for our salvation, was by way of the cross. And God's plan for us, for our sanctification, is by way of the cross. We've got to die to self, and we've got to recognize that suffering in this life should not surprise us. Don't act as if something strange is happening, that you're going through trials. Realize that God is working in all things for your good, because He loves you, and He wants to conform you to the image of Christ. That's good news. That's really good news. So rejoice in Him.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss the opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, you can be sure that Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.